The scripture reading is from Ezekiel 1, verses 1 through 3. In my 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Baziel, by the Kibar River, in the land of the Babylonians. There, the hand of the Lord was on him.
I want you to imagine a young man who has just turned 30. And already in his somewhat young life, he has experienced great difficulty. He's already seen in his 30 years the nation that he's a part of. On the one hand, he focused on God and experiencing stability, to now seeing his nation turn away from God and to be conquered by another group of people. Being the age of 30, it should be the time where he is starting his vocation, beginning his family. He's newly married. He should be entering into the prime of his life, but instead he finds himself not in a place where he would ever expect himself to be. He's a refugee, living in a tents, in a place where there are ruins in an old city. Obviously, he is devastated to be where he is. So one day, this young man decides to go take a walk. There's a river that runs close to the refugee camp where he is living. He thinks maybe this will be a good place for me to kind of collect my thoughts and spend time in prayer and just try to make sense of what is going on in the world and why am I a refugee in a country far away from my home. And while he's there along the river, maybe he's spending some time in meditation and prayer. All of a sudden, he has this incredible vision. This vision of God. It is so glorious and so full of radiance that he falls to his knees based on what he has seen. And in this vision that he has of God, God speaks to him and calls him to be a prophet, to be a servant of God. Calls him to give messages to the people, the other refugees that he's living with. He calls them to, through symbols and signs and other visions, to convey certain teachings that these people need to hear. The messages that he's supposed to say are going to be quite difficult to bring and for those people to hear. The methods that he's going to use are going to be quite strange. But his ministry is critical. And this young 30-year-old who's confused about what is going on in the world recognizes the authority of God. And even though he's nervous, even though he's even asking the question, God, why me? He accepts the call. This is the story of Ezekiel. As I mentioned in the call to worship, I imagine most of us haven't read the book of Ezekiel before. Maybe you know it's a book in the Old Testament. Maybe you didn't even know that before this morning. Maybe there are some of us who have read the book of Ezekiel because you've tried to read through the whole Bible, but probably that's about all we know about him. And one of the great nightmares of a preacher is to preach a series of lessons on a topic that everyone thinks is irrelevant and boring. And I have to admit, that is one of my fears for the next 3 months. So I'm going to take a little bit of time this morning to just try to convince you that Ezekiel really is a fascinating guy, and his book is worth reading. Did you know that Ezekiel laid on his side for 309 days, and then he turned over to the other side for 40 days? Can you believe that? And during those 390 days, all he ate was a little biscuit. Every day, that biscuit for 390 days. Can you believe that? Did you know that Ezekiel, he took a sword and he cut his hair with that sword. And he took the hair that he cut and a third of it he threw into the wind. A third of it he burned in fire and a third of it he stuck into his pocket. Did you know that Ezekiel, he dug a hole in the wall in the house where he was living. And he gathered up some things and he crawled through that hole. Now I have to be thinking, if I am Ezekiel's wife, I have to think my husband has lost it. But in all of those things, he did them because according to him, the Lord told me to do it. Are you interested yet? Did you know Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, rabbis didn't let people who are under 30 read the book. So if you're under 30, sorry guys, you can't read Ezekiel. It's just for us older folks. They did that because of the graphic imagery that's used in the book. Did you know that Ezekiel had visions of going to other places? Did you know that Ezekiel's wife died and he was unable to grieve for his wife? Ezekiel experienced depression. Ezekiel saw a graveyard. Ezekiel told parables. Are you interested yet? Did you know that Ezekiel's ministry came at one of the lowest points in Israel's history? When Ezekiel was born, Josiah was king. And if you know your Old Testament history, Josiah was actually a good Israelite king. And he was trying to lead the people back to God. In fact, they rediscovered the law, and they were trying to follow the law. They started participating in the Passover. They hadn't done that in many, many years. But Josiah's sons didn't follow suit. In fact, there was a grandson, Jehoiakim, who wanted to revolt against the Babylonians because the Babylonians were getting stronger and stronger. And so he thought, with the help of Egypt, maybe we can revolt against them and we can assert our independence. He wasn't following the Lord. And so Babylon came down and squelched that revolt and took 10,000 of the royal class or the noble class back to Babylon. Ezekiel was one of those 10,000. And here are these 10,000 folks who are living in refugee camps along a river called the Kabar River in Babylon, far away, thousands of miles from their home. And they're asking all kinds of questions. Questions like, okay, why, God, are we in exile and our friends and family are not? What have we done that has brought this punishment upon us? And what about our friends and family back in Jerusalem? Are they going to be okay? Is Jerusalem going to withstand the Babylonian pressure? And what is our future? And what do you want us to do while we're living here in these refugee camps? And it was Ezekiel's job. It was his ministry to help those refugees, fellow refugees, to process through these tough questions. Are you interested? Yes. Did you know that Ezekiel's father was a priest? And what that meant was that Ezekiel, during his growing up years, he would have spent his time around the temple. He would know every detail about what's in the temple and where it's located. He would know about sacrifice and how sacrifice was supposed to happen. And most importantly, being the son of a priest, he would have been educated in the law and he would have spent time thinking about who God is. Now, what's interesting about the book of Ezekiel is as you start to read the book, you see this priestly background come out. He has two visions of the temple in the book because he knows about the temple. He talks about some about sacrifice and about obeying the Lord. But what's most interesting of all is that the book of the book is about who God is. It's about the nature of God. What he had been trained to think about, now he's able to express in his ministry as he's trying to help these refugees understand who God is. And here's where I think the book of Ezekiel connects with our theme of being a church moved by the mission of God. Because if we're going to be a church moved by the mission of God, we have to understand the God of mission. If we're going to be followers of God, we've got to understand who God is. We've got to understand his nature. We've got to understand what he's trying to do in the world. And that is exactly what Ezekiel was trying to get across to those refugees. He was trying to help them understand who God is and what God wants to do in the world. And the central focus of his message, I think you can boil down the message of Ezekiel into one sentence right here, 48 chapters into one sentence. You ready for it? It's that God wants Israel and the nations to know he is God. God wants Israel and the nations to know he is God. That is the point that Ezekiel is trying to drive home to those refugees. We want you to know him. Know he's God. I'm going to challenge you over the next 3 months. Hopefully I've convinced you enough. I'm going to challenge you to read through the book of Ezekiel. 48 chapters. In preparation for this series, I sat down and I read in one sitting 48 chapters. Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't do that. That is a beating. You won't make it through and you'll feel discouraged. Take it a little bit at a time. 48 chapters. You can do it in a chapter a day. You'll be done in a month and a half. But I want to challenge you to do this, to read Ezekiel. You'll be fascinated by some of the things you read. And as you read the book, I want you to look for this phrase. This phrase. So that you will know that I am God. So that you will know I am God. This phrase, in some form like this, appears over 50 times in the book of Ezekiel. So that you will know that I am God. It's an important phrase because it's a purpose phrase. It's a phrase that expresses the purpose that God is doing something. And all throughout the book of Ezekiel, God is doing a lot. He's bringing judgment. He's bringing disaster upon his people. He's offering hope. He's restoring. He's bringing life. He's calling. He's sending. He's doing a whole lot of stuff in the book of Ezekiel. But why is he doing all of this stuff? This phrase tells us the reason. He is doing all that he is doing so that you will know that I am God. He wants Israel and the world to know that he is God. And so he's doing things. He's acting. He's working. He's moving for that purpose. And he's still doing it today. And we see this really come out, that the tone is set for this focus in Ezekiel chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to look at this very briefly. When you start reading the book of Ezekiel, get ready for chapter 1. Because Ezekiel chapter 1 is the closest thing in the Bible to seeing a UFO. You think I'm crazy, you read the chapter, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's the story of Ezekiel's vision by the Kabar River. He has this vision, and it's a strange vision. It's a vision of God, we know that. But the way it's pictured is very strange to us. Someone has tried to draw this vision in some way, and I'm going to show it to you right here. I don't know if you can see it real well. But it depicts the vision. So what he sees is he sees four creatures. These creatures have two wings that are covering their bodies. The creatures have four heads. They have a head of a human, head of a lion, head of an eagle, head of an ox. Four creatures. They're standing guard. They're kind of like the security of the throne, if you will. And then above those four creatures, you have this throne. And he says that on the throne, he sees a human-like creature, which makes us think ahead to Jesus. And he says that the throne is like a rainbow in the midst of a storm. The storm is how the vision begins. The throne, how the vision ends. A rainbow in the midst of the storm. But the most unique part about the vision, and it's this unique part that has inspired Negro spirituals for years and years, that at the base of the throne, Ezekiel saw wheels. He saw wheels. And these wheels were unique because it was a wheel inside of a wheel. We're not exactly sure what that means, but we think maybe what it means is that you had two wheels that are at 90 degree intersection. So the wheels pointing in two directions. And so what that would mean is that the throne can move in any direction. It can go north, it can go south, it can go east, it can go west without having to turn. In fact, it says several times in chapter 1 that wherever the Spirit would go, because the Spirit was in the wheels, the throne would go. whether it was one way or another direction, without turning. It would just go because it's got these wheels and it can move any direction. Now the question is, why? Why does Ezekiel have this image of a throne with wheels on it? Well, remember those exiles? Remember those refugees down by the Kabar River? Remember the questions they have about where is God, and is God back in Jerusalem, or is God with us? And here Ezekiel has this vision of a throne with wheels, which is trying to demonstrate that God cannot be contained in one place. He's not just in Jerusalem. He's not just in Israel. His throne has wheels. I tweeted this past week, God doesn't live in a mobile home, but he has a mobile throne. And that is true. His throne's got wheels. He can go anywhere. And what did that mean? It meant three things. It meant, number one, you can't hide from God. Jonah learned this lesson. When you sin and when you're unfaithful to God, you can try to sweep it under the rug, you can try to hide, but God's throne has wheels and he can go anywhere and he will find you. It means, number two, that you never feel alone. There's no dark place that you can get to here on earth where God can't. There's no such thing as a God-forsaken place. Did you know that? Why? Because God's throne's got wheels and it can move anywhere. Without even turning, it can go there. And then number three, it means that there is no restriction for God. God's sovereignty is not bounded by a certain territory. There isn't just a certain area where only God reigns, and then other places there are other gods that reign. No, his throne has wheels, and it can go from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon. It can go everywhere. He's sovereign everywhere. He's on the throne everywhere. And what did this mean for Israel? Well, it meant three things. Number one, it meant that God was on the move to bring judgment. Israel had been unfaithful. Israel had sinned. And so because of that, God's throne has wheels, and it's going to find out Israel. It's going to bring about judgment. God is on the move in the book of Ezekiel, and he's on the move to bring judgment for his people who have been unfaithful. But secondly, it means that God is on the move to bring hope to those exiles who are wondering what's going to happen in the future. The message is God's throne's got wheels. He's on the move. He's going to bring hope. He's going to bring restoration. He's going to bring about his will again, his work again. But then number three, it means that God is on the move to assert his reign. Even though it seems as if Babylon is in charge, even though it seems that Babylon has conquered Israel, God is on the move, and he still reigns, and he's asserting his rule. And as we know, that eventually transpires in the coming of Jesus, who is the true king, who truly restores his people. But the big question of the book, and these three messages are going to come out over and over again throughout the book of Ezekiel. You'll see over and over again how God is coming with judgment. And then you'll see for the latter half of the book, God is coming with hope and restoration. Throughout the book, you'll see God is coming with his sovereignty. Over and over, Ezekiel will pray, "Sovereign Lord, Sovereign Lord," because he understands God is on the throne. His throne's got wheels. It goes everywhere, and he's on the throne everywhere. But the question is why? Why is God doing this? Why is God on the move to bring judgment? Why is God on the move to bring hope? Why is God on the move to assert his rule? And the message we hear in Ezekiel over and over and over again is this: so that you will know that I am God. I'm on the move because I want you to know me. I'm coming, yes, sometimes with judgment, because I want you to know me. I'm going to seek to restore my people because I want you and the rest of the world to know me. God cares about his reputation. God cares about his name, and he wants the world to know of him. And the problem was is that Israel was dragging his name in the mud. And finally, God says, enough of your disobedience. Enough of your failure at trying to be a light to the nations, because you're not a light to the nations. I'm going to be on the move, and I'm going to do something about this. Because I want you, Israel, and I want the world to know who I am. He's the God of mission. And I think here is where we see the good news of Ezekiel. the fact that God's throne has wheels, and that God is on the move, so that the world will know that He is God, there's good news in that, church. Because if you came here this morning and you feel alone, I can say with confidence that our God is a God on the move. And He is where you are. And He's present in that hospital room. And He's present in that recovery center. And He's present in the jail cell. And He's present in the dorm room. And He's present in the classroom. He's present in the neighborhood. Because His throne's got wheels, church. He's present everywhere. And if you came here this morning and you're depressed and discouraged, I can tell you with confidence, our God is a God on the move. And He is at work in the midst of your struggle. He's at work in the midst of your grief. He's at work in the midst of divorce. He's at work in the midst of health struggles and health issues. He's at work in the midst of our parenting failures. He's at work in the midst of our friendship battles and relationships that are being torn apart. He's at work in it because His throne's got wheels and He can move anywhere. And He's working for His glory. And if you came here this morning and you're burdened, I can say with confidence this morning that our God is a God on the move, and in the midst of your burdens, He still reigns. And in the midst of your terminal disease, He still reigns. In the midst of market instability and worldwide upheaval, He still reigns. In the midst of national polarity revolving around politics and economics and so many other things, He still reigns. Because our God is a God on the move. His throne's got wheels, and it doesn't matter if He rolls over Babylon, doesn't matter if He rolls over Israel, doesn't matter if He rolls over the Middle East, doesn't matter if He rolls over this church, He is on the throne everywhere He is. And why is He on the move? Why is He present in all these places? Why is He working in all of our situations? Why is He reigning in all of these environments? He's doing it because He wants you, and He wants me, and He wants this church, and He wants this neighborhood, and He wants this city, and He wants this world to know that He is God. He's the God who desires to be known. And when Ezekiel had vision of this throne chariot, this throne with wheels, with the four creatures and the rainbow in the midst of the storm, it says that he fell to his knees. And I really believe, church, if we engage in this study and we listen to our brother Ezekiel tell us about the nature of God and how God is at work so that we would know that He is God, we too will fall to our knees. And we'll say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Ezekiel is a book of renewal, church. It's a book where Ezekiel was trying to bring renewal to these refugees and to say, listen to God. God wants to know you. He wants the nations to know you. It's time for us to repent and turn to Him and seek the hope and restoration that is found in Him. And this can be a book of renewal for all of us, church. This can be our time of renewal, where we turn to the Lord and we seek Him and we allow Him to change us. And we're going to have our invitation, and that is our invitation, to find renewal in the Lord by His Spirit. Our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium, and if you need renewal, if you need God to change you, if you need God's presence in your life, just walk to one of them and they'll pray over you. Or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away, just come to the front and we'll help you this time. Please come now. Together we stand.